Okay, we're continuing with Kovetz Mamrim Veigrot. The letter we're about to read, Torah Eretz Yisrael, was actually a letter that Rav Elchanan Wasserman wrote in the year Tafresh Tzadichet, that's about 80 years ago. And he wrote it after the one newspaper, the one Jewish newspaper that would not print on Shabbos, called the Morgan Journal, interviewed him. And then after the interview, they printed up their interview with him, but they patched it up. They presented him in a way that really did not represent what he had said in the interview. And then they started arguing with their misquotations of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. So this was in the United States, in New York. So that's why Rav Wasserman wrote them this response, this letter. And now that's the letter we're now going to learn about Torah and the land of Israel. He says, an article was written in the journal, Beiton Morgan Journal, Nitpas Ma'amar Me'et Mar, they omitted the name, Mr. So-and-so wrote an article, Bohu Motech Alai Bikoret. In that article, he has a lot of criticism to say about me. Ma'amaro shel Mar mistayem b'sheila ritzinit biyoter. His article ends, concludes with a very serious question, Zodot varim omdim rumo shel olam. His question in the end of the article is with regards to things that are of utmost importance, and he's referring to things I said. But being that the opinion I mentioned is not my own opinion, it's not the opinion of a simple person like me, a common folk, he says. He's arguing with an opinion I represented, but it's not mine. It's not a simple person like me, right? You know, when Rav Steinman asked to be buried, he said, bury me among simple people. So one of the Rosh Yeshiva, who has a very good sense of humor, told his family members, he said, I also want to be buried among simple people like Rav Steinman. Right? So, Rav Steinman, when they read his eulogy, one of the things he said is, Mekomi im anashim pshutim. I belong in the graveyard with simple people. That's what Rav Steinman wrote about himself. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, he's arguing with something I said, but it's not my own opinion, a simple person like me. That opinion represents some of the fundamental concepts of the way Torah tells us to think. So his questioning is not really a personal attack against me, but rather it's an attack against the way of the Torah. And that's why I think I have to give a clear interpretation, so that we don't remain in this state where someone's questioned the Torah and no one's given an answer. So if he's attacking, and he's not attacking me, he's really attacking the Torah, so then I have to answer. Kvar amarti.
This attack, though, comes from another religious
group. Right.
It's not like...
Well...
Sorry, you start to preface the thing by saying you gave the interview to the one paper...
Right.
...which over Shabbat. So it was just a different Torah approach, right?
I don't think so. I think his argument is that it's not. You'll see right now.
Yeah.
Kvar amarti v'hineni chozer v'omer. I've said, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, and I'm saying again, ki ruach ha-chofshiyut ha-shorah be-yishuv ha-chadash be-eretz ha-kodesh, that this free spirit, that is the spirit that's prevalent in this new settlements in the land of Israel, hu ha-gorem ha-rashi le-kol ha-tzorot she-itrakshu uvahu aleihem, that is the prime cause for all their troubles. Now this approach, that when people approach their life as an approach that desires freedom and no responsibility to the ethics, the morals, the way of the Torah, and that causes people to suffer, well, that's throughout the Torah, this concept. If you want to find where it says what I'm telling you, Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, you don't have to be a master of Shas. It's enough if you learn some Chumash with commentary. If a guy forgot Chumash, just read the second parasha of Shema. as Rashbam writes in Parashas Ekev, Ha'aretz hazot tova mikol ha'aretzot l'shomrei mitzvotav. This land, the land of Israel, is better than any other land to those who keep the mitzvos. Ve'ra'a mikol ha'aretzot l'lo shomram. But it is the worst land for people who don't keep the mitzvos. That's what the Torah is warning you in Vayayim Shemot Tishmu. Im ovrim al mitzvot ha'Torah Eretz Yisrael imakom ha'msukan v'ayom biyoter ba'olam. If people are going to transgress the mitzvos of the Torah, then the most dangerous place for them to be is the land of Israel. This concept is reiterated in Nachmanides. Ramban writes that had Sodom and Amorah not been a part of the land of Israel, they would not have gotten the response they gotten. Hashem's intervention when Sodom and Amorah were so immoral was specifically because it was on Israel territory. You see in Tanakh, Sancheiriv chased out the 10 tribes and then he brought in the Kutim. They worshipped idols. They had lions attacking them. Wait a second, these Kutim were pagans before they came to the land of Israel. Beretz Molatam, in their original country, why weren't they attacked back there? They come to Israel, they have this problem. Why? What changed now? The verse says, they didn't know that in Israel it's not like in Chutzlarts. In Chutzlarts, it's not that you can get away with it, but you're not going to get that kind of response. In Israel, you're living in the king's castle. The land will not allow those who transgress to have a continuance here. באשכנז חלפו קרוב ל-150 שנה מאז התחיל תהליך התמיעה וההתבוללות. In Ashkenaz, he says, in Germany, it's already 150 years that people are intermarrying and they're losing their identity. עד להופעת ההיטלריזם שדוחף את היהודים המשומדים וכמעט משומדים בחזרה לצור מחצבתם. Until Hitlerism came, and now he says what's happening is people have no choice, they are being pushed back to their roots, whether they like it or not. ובארץ ישראל עוד לא חלפו 30 שנה מהשתלטות הכפירה על היישוב, אך כבר נותנים להם מלנוח. He says, you look at our history, I'll give you an example in Germany, but we know this has been our history throughout. In exile, when people lose their identity, so then it can take a long time, it can take hundreds of years till they suddenly start suffering in their exile. In Israel, says Rav Wasserman, they haven't been there 30 years and already they're having tremendous troubles. So this was what I represented, and about this he asked a great question. He says, if you think you understand Jewish history, this author writes, so then why in the year 408 on the Jewish calendar, Tach, that's 300 years ago, Chmelnytsky's riots, the tremendous pogroms, and tremendously pious people were murdered and tortured? You can even ask a greater question. We know the 10 martyrs were all pious people. If you want to ask questions, I have a better one, says Rav Wasserman. Undoubtedly, they were holy and pure. Before I come to answer his questions, I would like to ask him a question. What was his goal with this question? Is his goal to say there's no judge, there's no system? Does he mean to say that a man can just choose whatever he does because it doesn't matter to heaven? I assume he didn't mean to say, God forbid, that maybe Hashem is uninvolved in this earth. So then what's he trying to say? If the readers are to understand, I have to begin from the foundations. Aleinu lizkor shebechol haaretz mishpatav. We have a pasuk in Tehillim. Hashem judges throughout the land. Kol hamitrachesh bo'olamo ino mikre. The Ramban teaches us that we're supposed to look at the world, that nothing's a coincidence. Kol sheino ma'amin v'zein lo chelik b'torat Moshe. Ramban tells us, if you don't accept that, then you're not a part of the Torah. Ela kol mi mishpatei Hashem amvusasim al chukei Torah. So Ramban takes a very strong approach. Everything that's happening here is because Hashem is ordaining it to be so. Shofeta motzi psak din mevases ta psak al seif mesuyam b'sefer hachukim. When a judge gives his ruling, there is sometimes a footnote, sometimes there's a specific clause that he is basing his ruling on. Gam mishpatei Hashem po'alim kach. Hashem's system also works that way. Hem mevusasim al sefer hachukim shel betin shel mala. There's a law book, so to speak, in the court above. In the Torah, Hashem tells us what Hashem expects of each person between man and his fellow man, and man is his creator. So what happens, says Rav Chanan Wasserman, we view it as Hashem is making it so. Now, we learn Torah, we should also try to understand why things are happening around us, and we should try to look in the Torah and try to say, okay, if A is happening, it must be because of. V'inei b'Torah anu tchufot nitkalim b'dvarim stumim she'enenu matzachim nasig v'lavin otam. We often find things in the Torah that we do not understand. Ulam uzarnu, the Torah warns us, ki lo davar reku mikem. The Torah is not something empty. V'im reku, the Torah is indicating, if you find something that seems empty, mikem urek, it's because you're missing something. So yeah, you're going to learn Torah and you won't always have a good answer. But you should realize that the Torah does have a good answer. You might not get it yet. B'rosh shel davar, u'shim einenu mevinim ma'amar b'Torah, ein ha'ashma b'ma'amar, ela b'kotzer sagateinu. The idea is that if we read something in Torah and we don't understand it, don't blame the Torah and say, ah, that's nonsense. That we don't say. We say, I don't understand it. As the Rambam writes. Rambam writes, an intelligent person reads Torah and sees things and says, there are certain things I don't understand. He says, I know there's genius here, but I don't get it. So the Rambam says, on the one hand, be honest. Don't make believe it makes perfect sense to you when it doesn't. On the other hand, have respect. So there's this balance, says the Rambam. A person's supposed to be both honest and respectful. You're not supposed to say it makes sense to you when it doesn't. You're not supposed to say, if it doesn't make sense to me, it's nonsense. You could say, there are things I don't understand. There are things here that I respect. I've been taught enough that the Torah and the words of Chazal have earned my respect, but that doesn't mean everything makes sense to me. That's the difference between saying it doesn't make sense and saying it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. Zot mipnei shekmo sheyesh kitzva lechushei ha'adam lo nitan la'avor otam. Just as our senses are limited and there are things that we cannot sense, there are things beyond our senses. You look out, you cannot see the United States of America from here. You can't, but your eyes are working fine. You got 20/20 eyesight, right? But there's a limit to what you can see. You want to hear what's going on at the Tachana Merkazit right now? You can't hear. So our senses are limited. We understand that. Kach gam ha'sechel ha'enoshi shelanu mugbal. Ad po tavo velo tosef. Our intellect is also limited. There are places where we say, I can understand that far and not more than that. I like to give the example. I was learning with my son this week and I said to him, you know, you have to notice that you don't know who you are. We often look outside and say, Rabboni Shalom, I don't understand what you're doing here, and I don't understand what you're doing there, and it's true, we don't understand. But we have to remember that we don't understand what we are. Isn't it phenomenal that on a physical level we don't understand? If we weren't taught that we have a heart, we wouldn't know what that thumping is in our heart. Science teaches us, we don't know what goes on inside ourselves. We don't know we have a kidneys. Does any one of us ever think, oh, my kidneys are itching me now? No, it doesn't happen, right? You wouldn't even know you had kidneys if science didn't tell you you had kidneys. That's on a physical level. Now let's move up to a spiritual level. Elokai neshama shenatata bi. What is this life? What's life within me that's talking? What's doing the seeing through my eyes? The eye is a tool, but there's something behind it. The neshama, the soul. When a person dies, he still has eyes, but something's not seeing. What's the battery? What's the mind or the soul behind life? We don't know. Meaning we don't even know ourselves. We have the goal to look around and say, Rabboni Shel Olam, A doesn't make sense to me, B doesn't make sense to me. We should begin internally and realize we know nothing about ourselves. Even the mere thing which is our life. I think, therefore I am. Well, I don't know what it is, the I that thinks. What is it that's doing the thinking and the talking within me? Oh, my mouth is a tool for my soul. Where's my soul? Is it here? Is it here? Where does the soul exist in the human body? Do we know? We don't know. We have no concept. So, it says, Rav Hanan Wasserman, you look at the world, you look at the system, you're taught there's a system and you still have questions. Okay. You're legitimate in having questions.
But we're supposed to act on Hashem's instructions, which make it a little different than just philosophically, I don't know what I was doing. When I was dreaming, I knew it was real, but then when I woke up, I knew it wasn't. But I don't feel like I did anything. When you have to do something, you know, it's a big deal. When you have to, you say, trust the Torah and Hazal, even if it doesn't make sense to me. I'm glad, as we said before, sometimes we're not called upon to make that call. But
right.
You are, and you have to decide. But I think that's what makes people like, they didn't do it. Like, we wipe out the seven nations and different things. You know, that's the kind of thing. It's one thing, you know, an example. I mean, there can be many, many examples. You know, so we trust us all, and we, but it's, you're 100% right. This is divine wisdom if we buy into the club and our tradition, but we don't understand it. But to go against, you know, to even Abraham, you know, we're going to wipe out Sodom. No, don't do it. You know, we try to get out of it. But so he's saying that these people who wrote this didn't have the proper respect, right?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
He hasn't finished his thought yet, but he's saying...
Of course, I mean, you know, he has tradition on his side, unfortunately. Some of the people who came didn't have the same respect for, right?
Yeah. He's starting at a point where he's saying the Torah's earned your respect. So at that point, you also have to respect the things you don't understand.
It's kind of scary because, you know, he's Eretz Israel, this is our Eretz Israel, and the majority of people who built this and kept this didn't have the same outlook on Torah that he had. And he's saying that's all good, and I can understand him saying that, but we're hoping that it's a step and it will lead to that, because he said you won't have a big window.
You know what Rav Kook wrote? We learned it here just before Yom HaTzmaut. Yeah. Rav Kook wrote a letter where he wrote, yes, I wanted the educators to be knowledgeable and teach people agriculture, but first I wanted them to be knowledgeable in Torah. And the only way that our existence in the land of Israel will succeed is if it is suffused with Torah. And otherwise, writes Rav Kook, so Rav Kook writes, otherwise what's going on here will become a miflezet, a monster that will hate its own people and hate the land of Israel. That's what Rav Kook writes. What happened if... How big the window is, he's just saying it's more dangerous to be in the king's palace and misbehave. That's the point he's making.
Yeah. But the miracles that the king allowed to get here, when the people were continuously misbehaving from that point of view,
לעומת זאת, התורה האלוקית מכילה דעת עליון שאין לה קצבה. Torah is godly knowledge, and so it is not limited. We're limited. כמובן אין כוח בשכלנו להשיג ולהבין דעת תורה. It's clear that we can't wrap our head around the Torah. A person can't say, I'm a master of Torah, I know everything Torah has to say. Well, no, you don't. There's no such thing. גם הלומד גמרא נתקע לפעמים בעלי התוסות שמקשים קושיום ונכין טבלות תירוץ. When you learn Gemara, so you see, sometimes Tosos asks a question and leaves it hanging. And Tosos says, I don't know. מה בכל זאת הוא התירוץ? Wait a second, so if Tosos left me with a question, so what's the answer? התירוץ הוא שאיננו מבינים את כוונת רחמי הגמרא. The answer is, Tosos says, I don't understand. I don't understand what the rabbis meant in this Gemara. That's what Tosos is saying when Tosos asks a question and doesn't give an answer. מהטיים יאמר אדם, so now if a person says, אחרי שמצינו בגמרא פה ושם דברים בלתי מובנים, אי אפשר בכלל להסתמך עליה. If a person would say, you know, there are places in the Gemara where you can't really understand what the Gemara is saying, so you shouldn't rely on the Gemara at all. מוטב לגנוז את ספרי הגמרא במוזיאון. A person will tell you, go put it in a museum. The Gemara should be an artifact. We'll look at it in a museum gallery. Can it be that we don't understand because we're not smart enough? A person would argue. No one thinks that that's a correct approach. Everyone agrees that's wrong. No one thinks there's any logic to that claim. So we have to know that there are two components that are completely separate in Torah. Hanistarot Lashem, there are parts of Torah that we say are beyond us. They are hidden from us. There are things we don't understand. So that's what the Torah says. That's Hashem's responsibility. You're right. There are things you don't understand. Vehaniglot, however, what you do understand, lanu, you do have a responsibility to understand. Kol ma shekatzra da'atenu milasik b'Torah Lashemu. Elokim evin darka. There are parts of Torah we don't understand. Okay, but Hashem does. So I don't understand. You don't understand. I would add to what Rav Wasserman said, and I would say, maybe one day you'll grow up and you will understand. Saying we don't understand today. We hope we'll get smarter. But what we do understand, haniglot, chovatenu lelech al pi hanchayot haTorah, there we have to go with the system of the Torah. Okay, the next piece, Rav Wasserman expands on an approach which is actually our parsha. So we should read it. V'adin b'yachs l'mishpitei Hashem. The same is true with regards to when Hashem judges us. There are always going to be things that you say, I don't know why God did that. Why does this child have to suffer? Why do all those innocent people in Syria have to suffer? Why do the innocents in Iran have to suffer? There are a lot of questions I don't have answers for. A lot. From current events, from today. When there are things that the Torah forewarns you, and the Torah prophesies and says, "Uvemilim brurot," the Torah clearly tells you what's going to happen. Asulanu latzom ta'inayim v'lomar einenu roim. A person can't just shut his eyes and say, "I have no idea what God does on this planet." V'yeshad kachat ram yuchedet. The Torah in our parsha warns us, "In telchu imi bekeri." If you go with me, coincidentally, shetomru, if you keep saying mikreu v'lo yad Hashem aset azot, if a person repeatedly says, this is a coincidence, that's a coincidence, it's not Hashem acting here. Yelech ha-matzav v'yachmir, that's what Hashem repeatedly warns us, that things would only get worse. V'alachtim achem mikcha matkeri, Hashem yishmerenu, God forbid, Hashem says, you want to consider it a coincidence? I'll let coincidences continue happening. Until here is an answer that's fitting to be written in a newspaper column, says Rav Wasserman. And the truth is that the Torah has an answer even for these questions. And that cannot be written in a newspaper article because that requires a lot of learning. Sometimes people send me a WhatsApp message with a question and the answer is, come to yeshiva. Not every short question can get an answer in a WhatsApp message. And that's what he's saying here. The continuation of an answer exists, but you have to go to yeshiva and learn. You need a lot of intros to get to that. ובכלל יש לזכות מה שחפץ חיים זה זכר צדיק קדוש ובחי הרגיל להתאים כי באין אמונה אין תרוצים ואין אמונה אין קושיות. חפץ חיים used to say, when a person doesn't have אמונה, then he has no answers. And when a person does have emunah, then a person has no questions. Now emunah isn't stupid faith. It's not just, let me believe. Emunah is a much deeper concept. Emunah is when Hashem, so to speak, or the Torah, or the words of Chazal have earned our trust. So then I can say, okay, I don't have all the answers, but I'm okay with that. It's two approaches. And then he says, being that you asked me a certain question with regard to the city of Tel Aviv, being that I don't see your question as pertaining to a Torah approach, but rather a question that's a personal attack, I don't see a reason to take you up on that and address it. And in a fitting time, if you want, I will give you a fitting answer in regards to this question as well. This that I've written is simply a response to a critique of me that was written in this newspaper. That's right.